Hello, everybody. Welcome back on the Quizfront podcast. Today's episode 4 of the new season. And today I'm very, very excited to have with me Lauren, who is probably most known as fronting for the band Warriors, but also graphic design and many more things. Yeah, and I feel like Lauren has a lot of experience and wisdom to share from years of international touring and yeah, just a lot of participation in sort of the American international music scene. So yeah, thank you for taking the time and making this happen. And yeah, let's chat, and please introduce yourself.
Hi, yeah, thanks so much for having me. My name's Lauren, they, them. I am a singer and songwriter, and yeah, I am kind of the front person of the band Warriors. I'm also an artist and illustrator, and I write a weekly newsletter and like sort of subscription series called Get It Together, which is kind of adjacent to the art and music that I make, but not, you know, it's not just like the Warriors newsletter or something. So I share a lot of things through that as well. But
hell yeah.
Yeah.
That's amazing. I've actually been reading your newsletter for quite a while. Get It Together, in case anybody wants to have a look at that, which you should. But yeah, so I guess let's get started, you know, really easy question. Tell me a little bit, or tell the listener a little bit about how did you get started in music?
Well, I started playing piano when I was very little, and, you know, taking lessons when I was like 7 or something. So I have classical music training from that. It was definitely like classical piano. And then when I was a teenager, I started playing guitar and started really teaching that to myself. I went to some summer camps that were art and music related, but I really don't have that much formal training on guitar. But I started when I was a young teenager, just listening to the radio and wanting to write songs, like wanting to write kind of punk stuff, but also listened to a lot of like singer-songwriter folk music. And so, yeah, just really taught myself guitar in order to play songs, or like in order to write songs. So that's kind of where I'm coming from with that. But then I didn't, you know, I didn't really think about being in a band until I was like 18, 19. And kind of found it hard to even find people to play with. So I was kind of focused on just being a singer-songwriter for a while. And then it finally did happen that I found some fun friends who wanted to, you know, just start a band for fun. And I definitely didn't think, I definitely didn't think that like being in a touring band that would travel the world was something in the cards for me, or like that wasn't, it was just sort of like, this is fun and we'll see where this goes. And it's just been kind of a wild ride. Like I could not have foreseen being where I am at this point. So I try to not take that stuff for granted.
Honestly, yeah, it's fair to say that things have gone quite successfully, and it's been really, really nice to kind of see Warriors' progress and like your progress kind of from afar. Just on a little side note here, the first time we met, well, I think we didn't consciously meet, but I do remember this this instance, and I'll tell it here because it was special to me. So I saw you play solo on the Julian Baker tour in 20
I think it was 2017.
2017, like, yeah. A while ago, yeah. Right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And here's why it was special to me. You were playing your song They Them This, which for the avid listener is essentially a song about, you know, not quite fitting in with a gender binary. Really special song to me, and I, at that time, like summer 2017, I had pretty freshly come out as transgender. Slash, it was sort of I feel like it was, if I remember correctly, it was sort of one of the first time that I was out sort of being trans in public, sort of going to a show with like my old friends from sort of that new me, you know, and they will, you know, they, I continue to be great friends with them to this day. And I remember still just kind of being so nervous about that. And it was both you and Julian, even though neither of us knew each other in any way. Both you and Julian like made me feel really nice. Like Julian randomly walked past me and just said something like, "Hey, this is a really cool shirt," or something. And it just made me feel so nice. And and then just you sort of playing that song and being like, "This one's for the queers." And I think we had like a little chat when I bought your record or something. And like, I just really like particularly sort of remember that show and just sort of both of you so clearly being queer and sort of so clearly kind of making that space. Yeah, it was really special. My sister was there as well. And it was just sort of a pretty amazing event that I look back on quite fondly. And then, you know, even better that, like what, a year or two later, we then got to meet again on your European tour, and we sort of stayed in touch ever since. And yeah, either way, it's it just kind of goes to show how, I don't know, writing a song can really go so far, doesn't it?
Thanks. Yeah, no, and I didn't realize that had happened on the Julian Baker tour. That's awesome. And that tour was so much fun. But yeah, I mean, that really is the thing. It's like I didn't know if people would really kind of pick up what I was putting down in that song when I wrote it. And I thought that the title was a little, I was like, oh, is this like kind of being too obvious about it? But it really has resonated with people. And I like using that song as the opportunity in our set, if it's not already entirely obvious, you know, who I am or the fact that, you know, that I'm queer, or that we want to make space for queer folks at our shows, that it's nice to have that song to kind of introduce folks if they're already familiar. Yeah,
it's really special. I also will say, I remember thinking, like, it felt like you were really like nervous at the Julian Baker show. And I mean, it was so long ago as well, you know, like yeah. Both of us were a lot younger than we are now. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. And it's funny though, too, because I got that feedback from quite a few people on the tour that they were like, "You look really nervous." And I'm like, my hands just kind of shake. Like, I'm not, I actually wasn't that nervous, or like, I didn't really have stage fright, but I don't know what to do when I'm on stage without three other people. So it was I don't know what I do between songs, and it gets really, you know, like it's just quiet between songs.
It's odd. I know.
Everybody was so polite, you know.
It's also that particular venue that I remember, like, it's just very, it's a German audience. It's like, they're all incredibly polite. They just stay very quiet. They're very focused. They're very intent.
Yeah.
You know, they don't drink. They're just very, you know.
Yeah, there was nothing for me to like bounce off of. And I was like, you all are being so nice right now, but it's freaking me out a little bit. And you know, even, you know, Julie and I talked about that, and I know that she mentioned that on stage too, that people are just so attentive, and it was really nice. Yeah. But it was also just like a little like, okay, I'm a little bit deer in headlights, even though I've been doing this for a while. But
yeah, it's odd when you kind of don't have your bandmates to sort of hide behind anymore, isn't it?
Yeah, and that was the first time I had been on a tour of larger venues on my own like that. So, yeah.
Hell yeah. Yeah. Shout out to Julian Baker, by the way. Continues to impress with just every single record, and yeah.
Yeah.
What a wonderful person. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I guess moving onwards, obviously you kind of have a bit of a dual career going on, being both a musician and a graphic designer / artist illustrator. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you do the newsletter, which has a bit of a journalistic element to it. It's fair to say that you kind of juggle a lot of elements of kind of the creative industries. How do you navigate that? Like, I'm genuinely asking from sort of my own interest, you know. I juggle a lot of things too, and sometimes I don't know. I just genuinely wonder, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you would think that there would be more of a system to it, but you know, I think I just tend to think about what I'm making as one larger body of work, especially with the newsletter being able to kind of filter everything together in a certain way. But as much as I think of art and music separately, it's really just that they're all similar outlets for me to be making things that I want to see in the world. Mm-hmm. And I'm definitely really grateful that I'm able to sustainably do all of that. And it's definitely helped me pay bills by having like a lot of different things going on. You know, like I'm not just depending on the band. I'm not just depending on the art or my newsletter.
Yeah.
So that really comes in handy. But yeah, I guess. I mean, it's definitely difficult to juggle everything, and I think that finding a certain level of focus on each thing is really helpful. And I'm still learning how to do that. You know, like I feel like I'm still learning how to focus in on a certain style for art. So then people know what's going on. Cause I really just like drawing and painting and, mm-hmm. and making things like that, you know, like I really like making zines. I like doing collage work. And just figuring out how to stay consistent with that has been really helpful. But yeah, I mean, I've been self-employed in one way or another for most of my adult life. So mm-hmm. Kind of juggling things back and forth and working on different projects and working on commissions. And that's just kind of been how it has to be, because I haven't had a regular 9-to-5, like go to an office job in a really long time. You know, I do freelance work and I do maybe more traditional, like, you know, not art related jobs sometimes, mm-hmm. But yeah, it's weird. It's like, I think when, when I get asked that question of like, how do you juggle all of that? Or like, how do you balance everything? It's not always something that I would recommend to people, you know, because I think
can only sign off on that. Yeah.
Yeah. No, as you know, that it's, you know, a lot of the juggling comes from the fact that we tour and that I want to tour. And
yeah,
it got to a point where asking for time off from a more traditional job just wasn't going to work. And so I found ways to be employed remotely, whether that's like as a graphic designer for a while, or I do project management. I do commissions and a lot of mail order for both the band and for art. And it's just how it kind of has to be. And it's not for everyone.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's an interesting challenge every day, but I've made it work for this long. So at this point, I'm just like, I guess this is just how my life is.
I feel like speaking from my own experience, and I guess particularly in with the background of what the last years have been, and sort of with that kind of almost like structured routine of sort of going on tour, being home for a bit, going on tour, and just sort of always having something else in terms of going away to look forward to / plan. Like, how have you been able to sort of stay consistent and kind of navigate that, I reckon? Because, you know, it's, yeah, like the last years have clearly felt so just like spiraling around for sort of like, you know, nothing to happen in the end. And do you know what I mean? Like, and, you know, just countless cancellations after cancellations, etc. Yeah. Like, I reckon, and this is a bit of a cliche question perhaps, but like, you know, how did you set up your pandemic routine, and do you feel like you learned something going out of that?
Oh yeah.
/ sort of transitioning to where we are now.
Oh, 100%. I mean, I've been working on new music. I was working on new music throughout the pandemic and you know, that we're still dealing with, but just in a different way. And when we really couldn't go out or do anything socially, I really started trying to learn how to record. And I'm don't profess to be very good at it, but you know, I figured out how to spend time working on music entirely in my own apartment. And that really had a big effect on my songwriting, on how I collaborate with people, on the actual people that I've been able to collaborate with because of it. It's not so much a routine as it is kind of sectioning things off in my day that whereas before maybe I would concentrate on like writing songs as I go, sending them to my bandmates, and then when we practice we kind of flesh them out. And now it's very much more like when I'm kind of in writing mode, I'm spending a few hours every day writing things, mixing things, playing around with synth stuff and like, you know, fake instruments on my computer and writing entire songs and sending them back and forth with people who have access to record on their end too. So yeah, I think, you know, the past few years has definitely been a different routine, and it's been really nice to have extended periods of time at home that I wasn't used to. And I think being able to structure my day where like I have the mornings for more admin or, you know, work deadline stuff. And then I try to reserve the afternoons to make things like when I'm in that mode, when I'm working on art and music. You know, I need that kind of extended period of time during the day to get things done, and having months and months of that, that I didn't really have before has definitely really changed the game, so to speak. So, I mean, we have them right now, but like, you know, in general, like we're not touring for I want to say the foreseeable future, but like next year we'll tour, but you know, for the next few months I have nothing on the schedule other than Fest, so it's,
which by the way will be such a great time. Word, I cannot wait.
No, same, it'll be great.
But I mean, I feel like with sort of all the different sort of sides to your creative career in that way, seems like that helped you a little bit to sort of buffer with that constant, to kind of have a buffer against that constant rejection and sort of just the constant cancellations of touring, etc. Like, I feel like I see a lot of musicians that creatively kind of put their eggs in that one basket. Do you know what I mean? And, you know, myself, not from the musician side, but more from the business end of things. But, you know, surely I put all my eggs in the touring career basket as well, and really had to figure things out when 2020 hit, you know. Yeah. And it took me a good while to sort of come back to my own feet, you know. So I feel like that's, in general, for sort of anybody that's looking to join the industry on the more creative side of things, yeah, like, do you... Take a little slice of the way that Lauren is doing this. I feel like that's having a lot of different legs, or like a lot of different kind of bases and foundations to your creative career, I feel like is the move.
Yeah, or just not feeling so tied to one medium, I guess. Mm-hmm. I mean, even if what you're doing is focused around making music, you know, feeling okay with, you know, maybe not touring on something, maybe going on or like, you know, if your band can't tour a lot, going on tour as a guitar tech, as a tour manager, as a merch person.
For sure.
You know, or like I already had the newsletter going, but when we couldn't tour anymore, I turned it into more of a paid subscription thing, and we put out some 7-inches and other art and zines to go with it, and just like totally pivoted to like another project that didn't have to necessarily focus on putting out another record ASAP. So, being like just being excited about making things. Like, it doesn't always have to look like what you thought it was going to look like. So
I really appreciate that. Since you mentioned kind of like more crew jobs, touring crew jobs, so a lot of listeners of this podcast slash a lot of guests on this podcast tend to be touring crew more so than artists, actually. And me myself working in the more touring side of things, I guess it's interesting to speak to somebody who's technically, you know, hiring in a way, because I mean in a way of like a lot of the conversations in like all the Facebook groups for sort of newcomers in the touring side of things, on the crew side of things, always are like, how do I speak to artists? How do I put myself out there? And you know, how do I get that next tour job in? What does the artist or the management want to see from me, and what they expect? Kind of all these questions. And you know, you as somebody who's sort of on that end, you know, hiring touring crew, right, and sort of, you know, how does that look like from your end? Like, imagining somebody on the other end, you know, like who's really just starting out, just being like, how do I talk to Lauren?
Well, I mean, I think if for someone who is really just starting out, I would really say to try to hop on like short tours with friends' bands or with bands that are also just starting out. And I never advocate for people to do things like that for free, but it's more like whatever you have the bandwidth to do to get even just the basic experience of whatever job you're trying to get, you know, whether that's being a merch person at a venue specifically for a while, or, you know, helping friends do merch at local shows all the time. You know, going on tour with bands that might not have a big budget, just to say that you have been on tour before, because I think for us at this point, it's really like there's just so much going on tour that I can't bring folks with us who have never done it before, because it's not for everyone.
But you understand,
because like, you can't, like, 3 weeks into a tour, if you're freaking out because you have no alone time and you have no you know, private space and you're tired, and you find out it's not for you, like, I don't have the bandwidth to tackle that with people necessarily. But I would just say, like, really just to put yourself out there for the smaller things, so that when a band who might have a little bit more of an infrastructure to hire people is looking for someone, then your friends can refer them to you. And that's how I found some really amazing people to bring with us, is somebody saying like, hey, my friend so-and-so is really good at what they do. They're really on top of things. They're really responsible. They don't necessarily have a ton of experience, but they're great, you know? And that's how we found some amazing crew, and how we've made some great friends. And you know, I think it's also being able to grow with a band, because I mean, I know people who have started touring with bands when they're on the smaller side, and they just keep going on their tours until they're playing like huge venues, and they're like not just the merch person, they're the merch manager, and they're managing other people, and you know what I mean? Like, and I'm sure that you've probably found it the same way, that like when you make connections with bands at shows and maybe take a smaller band on tour, then the next tour is bigger, and you know, things grow from there. And that's how you grow any career. You know what I mean? Like, you have to start somewhere. You kind of have to start at entry level at a certain point. But yeah, I think it's about seeing how resourceful someone is, and seeing how people can just problem solve on their own. I think that's really the key to me, because I don't want to. It's like if I'm bringing someone with us, I want them to deal with the thing. You know, like I want. If there's a problem with merch. You do. Like you are the person to deal with it. That is your job.
You. So, yeah. I feel like from very lovely experience here. For me, sort of when I was starting out, something that helped me kind of coming into it was definitely the fact that I had played in sort of bands myself back in the day, and you know, I'd already like solved the problem of a tire being blown or like, you know, a rear van window being shattered and having to guard the gear in a foreign country in the middle of the night. And I don't know, like all the, you know, I feel like that's also a great thing, like play in a shitty band, do the tours anyways. And you are so equipped to be touring crew. Oh,
100%. Like, and that's the thing. Like, I always kind of think about that. I'm like, you know what? If I ever don't want to play music anymore, I could 100% do like many shows on tour.
Yeah. That's honestly how I got into it. And you know, I've definitely slept on every floor of every dingy squat and punk house everywhere, and I've seen it all. You know, like nothing really phases me much anymore. You know.
Yeah.
Like just this summer, I legit had a tour, where we went through 4 vans in 4 weeks, which is the worst luck I've ever had on a tour.
Wow. Yeah.
And also, in this very same summer of touring jobs, I had not one, but 2 other vehicles crash into my parked vehicle.
Oh no!
In a very normal parking lot that I was also sitting in. Uh-huh. Nobody got hurt, but both these drivers tried to speed away, and I caught them both and got the license plates. But yeah, like stuff happens.
Yep.
And I still drove that half-broken van that had been crashed into over the ferry to Amsterdam overnight, and I still caught my flight despite, you know, everything that flying is these days, and I still made it. And it's just, you know, you just can't panic, you know? You just need to keep it rolling.
No, exactly. And that's the thing though. It's like if you are approaching a band who is pretty established and you've never been on tour before, it's not to say that you can't handle it, but you should probably get those experiences first, because they're just going to happen on a larger scale. The bigger the band is. So yeah, I don't know. I would just encourage people to just you know make a lot of friends, go hang out at shows, figure out what people need, you know.
I love this. I you know, genuinely speaking, I feel like I wish I had heard this podcast or like this kind of conversation like, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 years ago when I was starting out.
Sure.
You know, I mean, A, the podcast format wasn't as popular then, in all fairness, but, you know, jokes aside, particularly sort of, you know, from coming from queer people who surely had to go through more hardships than a lot of other people to sort of get to where they are. I feel like in kind of that knowledge sharing educationary space of the industry, I feel like it's still quite dominated by men who are just out there doing their thing. You know, like nothing wrong with that. There's great podcasts, you know, by men, but they tend to be, you know, men speaking to their men buddies about their experience touring with other men. Do you know, like,
so
this is special. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, 100%. And I think that's the thing though, too. It's like, it's 100% a different experience touring if you're not a cis man. And, I don't know. It's like, I think that's why I enjoy talking about these things and sharing that knowledge, because I had to figure out a lot on my own. But then also you're judged more harshly by men who have been doing it for longer. And I felt like whether people said this to me or not, I definitely felt like if we screwed up or if we were late or if we did something wrong or didn't know what we were doing on tour, I just had such a fear of it looking like amateur hour. And I'm always very conscious of like what is the expectation of this tour or this venue or this band that we're playing with, and just being easy to work with, you know, like being on time, getting off stage quickly, like not being flakes. And but there's a lot of ins and outs of that like you just have to you learn by doing. But yeah, I don't know. I like talking about it so that maybe people pick up on things that like they wouldn't have thought about before. But I don't know.
And maybe the sheer fact that it's possible, you know?
That's just, you. Definitely that.
It is.
Yeah.
In a way, like, part of me is like, because I've been doing this for so long now and it's just my job and my life, you know?
Yeah.
It's so normal to me that part of me is like, this conversation is just like redundant. But then I'm like, no, it's not. Because if I think back to myself 5, 6, 7, 8 plus years ago, it really would have been so special to me to listen to it then.
Sure.
So I'm just sort of trying to fill the void that.
Yeah, absolutely.
I would have needed. Yeah. No, time traveling is all I'm doing.
Yeah.
Actually, like, this is a bit off script, but like, genuinely interested, kind of personal question, but because you mentioned sort of being judged and being on stage, being sort of openly queer and sort of not fitting in with certain norms, something that I struggled with myself too when I was still sort of on stage, and something I thought about a lot this year because I ended up playing bass on one tour that I did earlier this year and it was super fun, but something I really struggled with was being an out queer person on a stage. You quite literally have a massive spotlight on you. That just grows exponentially the bigger the venue gets. Gender expression when you're playing on stage and when you're singing, and just the way you like hold your guitar and the way you'll sort of stand and just all of these things. Maybe it was just me not being used to being on a stage anymore. And like, it took me a couple shows and then I was back in it and it was kind of fine, but I still just kept thinking like, how do I hold this bass? And how does it look like feminine enough? Do I come across this? What do these people, you know, you get so in your own hair. And I was just kind of wondering how that has evolved for you over the years.
That's a great question. Because I think, you know, my gender presentation has certainly changed over the years. And so I think when I was a lot younger, and I was a lot more femme. I was a little more conscious of how I looked on stage and like the outfit I was wearing, you know. And you know, for a lot of people, that's important. And you know, I don't know, like it. It has definitely informed why for a long time Warriors has worn all black on stage.
Mm-hmm.
And that there are a lot of bands that are mostly all men who do that and no one cares. No one cares. And like, you're not looking at what they're wearing. You're just watching the band and no one comments about it. And it's made my life easier to not have to think like, what am I wearing on stage? What are my bandmates wearing on stage? Is somebody wearing a shirt of a band that like I don't like, or that mm-hmm. You know, someone might have a problem with? You know, what is my gender presentation right now? I mean, granted, I wear black pants and black t-shirts like almost every day. That's just what I wear anyway. But you know, I don't know, like, I think maybe it's gotten easier for me because I do present as androgynous and I like mm-hmm. that and I feel comfortable in that. But I think finding finding what's comfortable for you, like just on a daily basis, and then just doing that on stage, you know, like just, and also realizing that like there are kids in the crowd that when you are authentically yourself, see that and are like, oh, I didn't know that this was possible. I didn't know that there were people in bands that look like mm-hmm. me and dress like me and act like me in bands. And that's still, it's wild to me that still happens. But I get that comment all the time, especially when we tour with bands who aren't queer or who mm-hmm. are like all men. Especially in those settings, I get that comment. So yeah, I don't necessarily know how I got more comfortable with it, but I think just kind of making that decision for myself and being like, okay, this is what I'm doing. This is what I do on stage. This is what I wear on stage. And then I don't have to think about it, you know, mm-hmm. that was really helpful.
No, that's really cool. And part of what I enjoy about it is, you know, how a lot of queer bands sort of, no matter the gender of the people or sort of at which stage of their expression journey they are, a lot of queer bands seem to be very on that train of like extravagant outfits or like really like yeah. well coordinated, very colorful. And I love that about the queer community, just sort of being very yeah. sort of all over the place and just showing that diversity of everything. And but funny enough, I have definitely felt like I am not sort of outfit oriented, color coordinated enough to sort of fit in with the queers. And something that has genuinely helped me in that way. And, you know, this is particularly, this is perhaps a slightly different journey to yours, but, you know, myself going sort of the other way around a bit more towards the femme side of things, I guess I wanted to particularly get away from the men wearing black on stage
fair.
Type thing.
Very fair.
But then on the other hand, I also didn't feel like I was myself going sort of like all the way. Like that's also not just me, yeah. which I feel like is being non-binary in a nutshell. But but I just remember always looking at Laura Jane Grace playing live and just being like, it's totally possible to clearly be sort of very femme in a lot of ways, mm-hmm. but still like not change your ways of sort of what you did on stage before too much either. And like, I guess her case is also very particular about how, on what kind of public stage her process has been. And sometimes I've felt yeah. really bad for her, seeing like the very hardships that I went through, but like seeing her having to do that in the public, I'm just so thankful that I didn't have to do that, you know. But yeah, it's funny though. I love how I reckon sort of diverse the queer community is in that way. And I guess yeah, good on you to represent that side of things. I appreciate that.
Thanks. Yeah. No. And I think that Laura's a really good example of, you know, figuring out the way to perform gender and to present yourself in a way that feels authentic, that isn't always what people think it's going to be. I don't know. Or, you know, finding your own blend of gender presentation, especially in a feminine way. Mm-hmm. You know, because I don't think I present myself as like 100% totally masculine all the time, but I'm definitely not, you know, I'm not wearing dresses on stage anytime soon. So what do you do with that, you know? And everybody does that differently. And I think the queer community can put a lot of pressure on gender presentation in the first place, just on a daily basis, let alone yes. on stage. So whatever yes. you can do to like just be confident in the way you walk through the world, then that will show itself on stage. Like people will see that on stage and love it. So
I this is really cool. I appreciate that. Speaking of Laura Jane Grace, I know that back on imaginary life. How was working with Laura on that record?
That was great. Yeah. That was the first time I'd ever worked with a producer. And it was great to work with her in that capacity. Also as a songwriter, I think working with, producers is much different when they are also a songwriter specifically. And I think, maybe we write, like, our process for writing songs is somewhat similar. It overlapped in a really nice way. It was just great to work with her. I really love that record. And really appreciate all the things I learned from that. And, the friendships that came out of making that record or touring with Against Me and all that stuff. So yeah, that was great.
That's incredible. And I guess, making the bridge to the present now and your last record and whatever you're writing towards now that is not in the public eye yet, I guess how would you kind of describe your musical journey, like as a songwriter but also sort of becoming a tighter life band or studio band unit, particularly having Against Me's drummer to record with, probably my favorite drummer in the whole world. How would you sort of describe that process? What do you feel have you learned throughout those years?
Well, I mean, when I first started being in a band, it was a very collaborative band, and we all wrote songs. We all wrote lyrics, all wrote music, and it was a much more democratic group. And there are good parts to that, and there are bad parts to that. And that was a really good learning experience of the way that I enjoy writing music with people, but also the way that I want a band to function for me. So that when I started Warriors, and when Warriors started being an actively touring and recording group, because it did start as a side project, but when it really became my primary music project, I knew that it had to be something where it's my band. I may have consistent bandmates over certain stretches of time, but that I needed to make it work where I'm writing the songs and that I am collaborating with people, but at the end of the day, these are my songs. These are my choices. And that I'm 100% happy with how things sound, because I just think it's the worst feeling to me to listen to a song, 5 years later and be like, I didn't like how my guitar sounded then. I still don't like how it sounds. Like, having anybody else in that decision making process just doesn't work for me. So so I think that my songwriting has grown in kind of a similar way of trusting myself and knowing what I like and learning from other songwriters and other bands, like, okay, how do I make this sound like X way? Or the people who have played guitar in my band or drums or like any instrument really, like, bring their own style to it, but how can I direct people and how can I style things and collaborate more effectively to get to where I want the songs to sound? I think it's really been a trajectory from being a more collaborative band focused thing to myself as an artist and as a songwriter, and the new music especially. Like, I'm so impatient and cannot wait for you all to hear what we've been working on. Just because you mentioned Adam, that Adam Willard wrote, has been writing drums, and writing songs with me, collaborating in that capacity. And, same, like, Franz Nicolai is, on keys and has been collaborating with me on that for a new record. And, they're new to me in that capacity, and but working with people who are so open and so excited to try new things and just hash things out.
Incredible musicians,
right? Like, just really to a point that I'm like, what is happening?
Yeah, like, what he does on drums are just the amount of bands and also their level that he's played in, unmatched.
It's amazing. Well, and it's, you know, he's someone I've known for a long time. I've known Franz for a long time. And I think that, you know, that's another thing of just like, just go on tour, play shows, make friends. And like, they've circled in on my songwriting and like what I do. And now we're playing music together. I don't know. Like, I couldn't have told you that was going to happen. So, so yeah, it's been a really wonderful process and you know, getting to write music that I'm really excited about, that I feel like I have more control over than I ever did, is really exciting. So, yeah.
That's incredible. I feel like that's a really good positive note to sort of wrap it up on. I guess last question, do you have, what's next? Not just for Warriors, but I guess for you as a person, as an artist, I guess, yeah. You've said you're working on a new Warriors record, but I guess, yeah, sort of what's next? Anything you want to pitch to the listener to check out?
Sure. Well, I mean, we're definitely working on a new record. We definitely have new music coming out next year. And I mean, I'm really focused on not only that, but really making the newsletter a place where I'm giving people access to the art and music side of my practice, but also you know, a lot of other writing and making about, you know, art and music and queer culture and things for, like, I'm a millennial and I feel like that really comes through in a lot of what I write about. And just really making that a place to kind of, you know, if you like the art that I make, if you like Warriors, then you probably will like the things that I put out there, you know, and making that more of a community and more of a vibe, for myself professionally. So, so I would say, you know, it's like, while we're waiting for new music, definitely check out that space and, keep in touch that way. So.
Incredible. Well, thank you, Lauren, for taking the time, and thanks for sharing a lot of kind of personal things and just kind of being out there doing what you do.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks.
That's
for having
it
me.
For today. Hell yeah. And thanks everybody for listening to the Chris Front podcast. Check in again next Friday. New episode every Friday. That's what we do. That's it for today. Goodbye.